Congregation, please open your Bibles with me to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, we will read the entire chapter. However, we will focus in simply on verses 10 through 17. We have been going through the book of Amos for some time now. And we come to a point that's very important in the book of Amos because it is the only narrative section in the entire book. Most of Amos is filled with the prophecies of Amos. But here we have a little glimpse into what his life was like as he preached the gospel. So we'll read from chapter 7 and we'll focus in on verse 12 through 17. This evening, hear the word of the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me. Behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowings. And so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, O Lord God, forgive, I pray. O that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord God called for conflict by fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray. O that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord God relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord God. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by survey line. You shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will help us to understand what it means to preach God's word in the face of opposition. How to rejoice in the midst of hatred, when all the world seems to be up against your word. Lord, teach us how to still preach and proclaim it faithfully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the clearest and most obvious commands throughout all of Scripture is the command to preach the gospel. The command to preach the gospel. And this is a commandment that is given not only to pastors. Rather, it's a command for every believer. Every person is called to proclaim the word of the Lord. Perhaps not as openly or perhaps not as publicly, I should say, as a pastor is, but all the same, every believer is called to preach. This is something that Peter speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, you, that is believers, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Old Testament too speaks about this. Psalm chapter 96 says, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the news of His salvation from day to day. Now most of you certainly know that Jesus' last words to the disciples were, or some of His last words, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. This was a commandment that was given to the disciples, but not only to the disciples. You see, in Acts chapter 8, we have some of the earliest Christians. As they fled persecution, it says that those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. So I hope you understand, congregation, that preaching God's word is a task given not merely to the elders, the deacons, the pastors of a church. It's not merely given to missionaries. It's not something that's given to a select few. No, the command to preach God's word is a command for each and every believer, for each and every person who is in God's church. But the fact of the matter is, congregation, that preaching the gospel can be a terrifying thing. I can guarantee you that if you were to take a poll of the people in this room, perhaps 90 to 95% of people would say that they have been afraid to share the gospel. And the other 5 to 10% are lying. At some point or another, everyone has feared to preach. And it's because of the what ifs that we ask ourselves. We say, well, what if the person I'm preaching to doesn't want to hear it? What if the person I'm preaching to rejects what I'm saying? What if they're annoyed by me? What if they hate me because I talk to them about the need for repentance? What if they use what I say to harm me? What if they take my words out of context? What if they use it to try and get me to leave my job, to force me to leave my job, or what if they use it to harm my family? Or what if they use it ultimately to make people believe that I'm not a good person? These fears are fears that I think nearly every believer has had at one point or another in their lives, if not constantly. How do we overcome this fear, congregation? How do we overcome the fear of witnessing to those who are in darkness? How do we overcome the terror that often comes when we think, I should speak to this person? Well, congregation, in the passage before us tonight, Amos was in this exact scenario. Amos was in a place where his words were taken out of context. where people sought to destroy his ministry and even his life, where people hated him, where they sought to exile him from the land. He was in a situation where people despised him for preaching the word. But in this passage, congregation, God gives us an example of someone who did not fear to preach. It gives us an image of what rejection looks like and how to preach boldly, even in the face of rejection. So come with me, congregation, and we'll study this passage tonight in order to perhaps conquer this terror, to learn how to be more faithful in our witness, more open in our preaching, more eager in explaining the Word of God. The first thing this passage teaches us, congregation, the first thing we need to recognize is this, that God's Word is, in fact, despised. God's Word is despised. We see this in verse 10 through 13, congregation. If you look at the context of this passage, you may remember that up to this point in the book of Amos, Amos has been faithfully preaching God's Word. And the things that Amos has been preaching have not been easy things to preach, as you may remember. As we've gone through the book of Amos, much of the book of Amos has been, in some sense, doom and gloom. Amos has warned the people time and time again. He's told them, repent or perish. If you do not turn away from your idolatry, you will be destroyed. He's even preached as if he was preaching a funeral. In fact, more than that, he's done more than simply preach. He has pleaded with them. God, speaking through Amos, said three different times in Amos chapter 3, seek me and live. But he declares, don't go to these places, Bethel, Gilgal, because these places will be destroyed. Amos had even interceded for the people of the nation of Israel, as we saw last month. In verse 2 and verse 5 of this chapter, when God prepared destruction for the people of Israel, due to Amos' intercession and God's grace, God had postponed, had held back His wrath. So you see, congregation, that in the context of this passage tonight, Amos has been preaching faithfully. And he's been preaching perhaps now for almost 2 years. But in all this time, he has gained very little respect and very little interest. How do I know this? Because Amos himself gives us hints of this. The book of Amos says more than 60 times, thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord God told me. The Lord said this. He is finding himself constantly having to remind the people, these are not my words, but the words of God. And it seems the people didn't pay attention. After all, Amos had to refer to them as those who sit at ease on your beds. Far from listening to Amos, far from hearing the word of the Lord, the people of Israel ignored at best Amos and at worst they hated him. They were at this time a very rich people. They were at this time a very spiritual, outwardly people. They would go to all sorts of places that they believed holy. They fully believed that God was happy with them, that He loved them, that He could never be angry with them, The priests of the time were sitting with plenty. They had all they needed. And so you can imagine, congregation, that as Amos goes about for nearly 2 years proclaiming, "Repent or perish, seek me and live, leave your idolatry," you can imagine that he would make some enemies. That some of the people who heard him, and especially the people who made their living with false religion, that they would hate Amos for preaching the destruction of idolatry. These enemies of Amos, these enemies of God, began to look for a way to trip him up, to stop him, to destroy him. And so when we get to verse 10 here, these enemies finally have found a way to do it. At the end of the last prophecy that Amos gives, God tells the people of Israel, "I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam." So now look at verse 10 through 13 with me. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, "Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led captive away from their own land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is his royal residence." Notice, friends, the way this false priest responds to God's word. First, he begins to make charges against Amos and against Amos's preaching. He hates Amos, and so he seeks to destroy Amos. When he writes the letter to Jeroboam, he charges Amos of being dangerous to the nation, conspiring against the king. In verse 10 and 11, he claims that Amos is seeking to destroy the peace, the prosperity, the beauty of the country of Israel. This crime is the crime of treason. That's a crime, certainly, that was punishable by death. So when Amaziah writes this, he's not seeking merely to give Amos pause. No, he's seeking to destroy Amos and everything he holds dear. And after he writes this letter, verse 12 and 13, he musters up all the authority that he has as a priest of this false place, and he tries to command Amos to leave Israel, to stop preaching. He charges Amos of only preaching because he needed the money. He says, "Flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread." Amaziah, this corrupt priest, he can only think in terms of corruption. So he thinks, well, Amos is only here because he wants to get people's money. Maybe he's in the pay of the land of Judah. Or maybe he's just here in Bethel because he hopes people will give him a little food. To make matters worse, congregation, Amaziah makes false charges, not only against Amos himself, but against the Word of God. Look at the passage again and you'll see that Amaziah twisted God's Word. He cuts out everything that Amos has been preaching up to this point. He ignores the fact that Amos has pleaded with them. He ignores the fact that Amos has interceded for them with God. He ignores the fact that if they repent, there is forgiveness. He takes only the smallest phrase from Amos's preaching. He says, "Aha, I can use this to destroy Amos. Verse 9, Amos says, I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. But Amaziah says that Amos has declared, God will destroy Jeroboam. Do you notice the difference there? He wants to paint Amos as if he's an enemy of the people of Israel. He wants to imagine that Amos is someone who's only there to stir up chaos. So he takes God's word and he twists it. Beyond this, Amaziah downplays God's word. He denies its divine origin. He says, Amos has said this. He doesn't say the Lord has said this. He says, Amos has said this. Again, mockingly, self-righteously, he calls out, he says, flee, you seer. He says, go and eat bread somewhere else. Amaziah is saying, your message is false. You're just looking for a way to make money. Congregation, do Amaziah's tactics sound familiar to you at all? They certainly should. These are the very same tactics that unbelievers, even today, take against the preaching of the gospel. The unregenerate man does not want to hear the gospel faithfully preached. They are fine with a man like Amaziah. They love a pluralistic message. They're happy to hear good news. All day and all night, they'll listen to people who will tell them, God is happy with me. God's got a wonderful plan for your life. The world loves people like Joel Osteen, like Creflo Dollar, people that preach as though God only wants your happiness, your temporary happiness, and that's it. God wants you to be rich. But when the unbeliever is confronted with the gospel that Amos preached, when the unbeliever hears that there is life in Christ, but outside of Christ is death, when the unbeliever hears, repent or perish, seek me and live, when he hears that God hates idolatry and false spirituality, that's when there are problems. Natural men will do everything in their power to reject God's word. Like Amaziah, they'll attack God's message and God's messengers. If you proclaim the gospel to someone, there will be those who say you are dangerous to the state and to freedom. They will claim that your church is composed of dangerous fringe extremists who believe crazy things. If they can't get that to stick, they'll look at the leaders of the church and they'll claim that your pastor's only in it for the money. That the pastor is only pretending to believe the things he proclaims. That he's leading people astray on purpose. They'll twist God's word. They'll take God's word out of context. They'll blow verses out of proportion. And likewise, they'll dismiss God's word as if it's nothing important. They'll say the Bible was just some opinions of people thousands of years ago. It was an important book of it for its time, but now it's outdated and primitive. So, congregation, do you fear to preach God's word at your work or with your family or with your friends? Do you fear rejection? Do you fear that unbelievers will hate you if you preach the word? Well, then you need to recognize, congregation, that your fears are not completely unfounded. Natural man does not want to hear the gospel. How horrible it is that so many people are like Amaziah. They would reject God's word. They would reject Christ. They would rather live with money than with truth. These are people who hear God proclaim, seek me and live, and they think, I can't listen to him. I would need to leave behind my sin. If we fear to preach the gospel, we need to recognize in the first place that the fears that we have are not unfounded. It is true that if you preach, there will be many who will hate you for it. So why? Why, you may ask, should we preach? Well, congregation, it's because in the second place that God's Word demands that we preach it. That God's Word and God Himself demands that we preach it. Amos has been warned by the priest of Bethel to flee. Some of the most important people in all of Israel want him dead. The high priest and possibly the king as well out for his blood. But Amos doesn't back down. He doesn't go home. He doesn't say, "I'm sorry for what I said." He doesn't say, no, you've got it all wrong. He's not afraid of Amaziah's threats. Far from it. Amos responds to Amaziah's charges, and he does that in verse 14 through 15. Look there with me. First, Amos tells Amaziah that he was not originally a prophet, and he wasn't trained to be one. Verse 14, "I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet." The way Amos says these words is emphatic. He's saying, "I have absolutely no reason from a human perspective to take up prophecy." In those days, prophets often went through some sort of training process in order to teach them how to prophesy properly. The prophet Elijah trained the prophet Elisha, and Elisha trained a whole school of prophets. But this isn't the case with Amos. It isn't as if Amos was trained to preach. It's not as if Amos is taking up the family profession. It's not as if this is something he's learned from his youth. When Amaziah claims that Amos is only preaching for money, Amos says in the Holy Spirit, "Hold on a second. I wasn't trained for this. This was not my plan in life." Far from being a prophet, verse 14 continues. God, through Amos, says this. He says that he was a farmer and a shepherd. Far from needing prophecy to sustain himself, Amos already had two trades. But second, Amos tells Amaziah that God took him from shepherding the flock and made him a prophet. Verse 15 says this. He says, "Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" It's not as if Amos up and decided to get into prophecy. He didn't simply think one day, this is something I could probably do. No. God had taken him. God had shaken him. And he had said, "You're a shepherd? Well, now you will shepherd my people in Israel." The king, Jeroboam, the priest, Amaziah, they are false. I need a true prophet in there. Go to Israel and preach. So Amos went. Congregation, how did Amos get over his fear of man when he went to preach? Well, the answer is simple. Amos feared God. He feared God more than he feared man. God had commanded him to preach. Amos says in chapter 3, "A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" Amos's fear of the Lord took away his fear of man. Put yourself in Amos's place for a moment, congregation. If the sovereign God of the universe, if the King of all creation, If the Lord, who has created all things, who sustains them and can destroy them with the breath of His mouth, if He commands you to prophesy, and some mosquito, some small person, some false priest says, don't preach, do you think you'd fear that false priest? Certainly not. But beyond that congregation, Amos knew that where God calls, He also disposes. Where God prepares or calls a person, He also makes them able to do the call. Amos knows that he was a shepherd. He knows that he was someone who took care of plants. He knows that in his natural state, he would be able to do nothing. But God called him to be a prophet, and so God would prepare him. God called him to preach, so God would give him the words. And finally, Amos loved God. He saw God's beauty. He saw, as he had been preaching, how God called out time and time again to this rebellious people. He saw how God took pity on the people of Israel, how God held back His wrath for a short while so that the people of Israel might repent. So when Amaziah, this pompous priest, tells him to stop preaching, commands him, seeks to ruin Amos's life, Amos has no fear. He knows that God commands. He knows that God is worthy of our fear. He knows that God prepares the disciple. And he knows that salvation can come from God alone. In the same way, congregation, God and His Word makes demands upon us as well. God commands every Christian, every one of you here tonight, every believer who has ever lived, to proclaim His salvation. So I ask you, do you fear to preach the gospel? Then learn to have the same fear, the same knowledge, the same love that Amos had. Can you fear man when you fear God? One pastor, a close friend of mine, puts it this way: the fear of the Lord is when God's frown is your greatest dread and God's smile is your greatest joy. Do you look for God's approval or for man's? If you learn to fear the Lord, congregation, then you won't fear what man can do to you. Beyond that, congregation, do you know that where God commands, He makes you able? Jesus proclaimed this to His disciples when He sent them out to preach for the first time. He said, don't worry about what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words you need in that moment. So, congregation, do you fear to preach? Well, then know that it is God's word and not your own. It is God's, ultimately God, who makes you able. And congregation, do you fear to preach? Well, then look again to the love of God. If we truly love God, then we will love to speak about Him. Think on Christ's mercy and His love. He was made man for us. He lived the life of a servant for His believers. He died to destroy our sin. He was resurrected to give us new life. And even now He sits at the right hand of God the Father. Is this not someone worth preaching? Is this not someone worth following? It should make us want to preach Christ, to shake the unbeliever to his bones, to say with Amos, why will you perish? Why will you despise the gospel, the only thing of any true worth or beauty in this world? But congregation, there is yet one more reason why we need not fear what the world can do against us. Amos shows us finally, or rather God shows us by the word of Amos, that God's word destroys those who oppose it. God's word destroys those who oppose it. When Jeroboam ridiculed God's word, when Amaziah ridiculed God's word, when he sought to attack Amos because of what God said, he thought little of God's word. He treated it as if it was something of little importance. But here God himself responds to Amaziah in verse 16 and 17. He says this, "Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by a survey line. You shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land." Take note, congregation. Amaziah had twisted God's word. He refused to recognize the claims God's word made on his life. He was so focused on protecting his own living, his own way of life, that he denied the authority of God. And because of this, God declares that everything Amaziah had would be destroyed. Amaziah sought to destroy Amos. He sought to destroy God's word. So God says, you will be destroyed. His wife, forced into prostitution. His children, dead by the sword. His land, given away. He himself would die in an unclean land. And even his nation was to be brought into exile. God says, you deny my word, then I will give you a word. You're concerned about your prosperity, then I will destroy your prosperity. You seek to destroy Amos. You seek to destroy my word. You seek to destroy those who would preach it. And I will destroy you. So congregation, do you worry about preaching God's word? Worry no more. Rather, worry for those who would reject God's word. And in conclusion, congregation, I turn to those of you who are unbelievers. Perhaps you think, like Amaziah, that this Bible is not God's word. Perhaps you look at the scriptures and you think this is unimportant. Or worse, this may destroy my way of life. Perhaps in hearing the gospel preached, you hate God's word. Well, then know this. God takes his word seriously. It demands your respect. He will condemn all those who treat his word as if it's unimportant. Do you not, unbeliever, read this passage and tremble? To know that if you reject His word, destruction awaits. God's word is a serious thing. Don't be like Amaziah, afraid for your possessions, hoping to hold on to your sin, looking to destroy those who proclaim the gospel. Fear rather God, who commands you. Hear the word of the Lord. And believer, know this, that while the world may seek to destroy you,
It is God who takes care of His own. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that You would teach us to take Your Word seriously. We pray that You would teach us to fear God rather than to fear man. That You would teach us to know that where You command, there You make able. To teach us, Lord, that You are worthy of worship, worthy of praise, and that Your Word is worthy of study and of proclaiming. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.